Hallelujah. I just want to give a quick testimony of just my life growing up. Not anything long and not anything in depth. I did say quick. As a matter of fact, I bold-faced it and highlighted the word quick. Okay. I just want to just let y'all know, I think I have said this before in another message, but I pretty much grew up the only person in my family going to church. I had two older brothers, two younger sisters. My older brother was half the time between us and half the time between my dad because of a divorce. And in about the third grade, the church bus was going down the road, and my mom threw us on the church bus, and I think it was just to get us out of the house for a couple of hours so she can have some peace and quiet. I don't know how she did that with two younger sisters, but about the third grade, I think, is the first time I ever remember going to church. And I believe it was that Easter that I gave my life to Christ, at least I think I did at that time. I remember my brother going down front for an altar call, and he looked at me and said, "I'm not going by myself. You got to go with me." I'm like, "Okay." Then we got baptized, water baptism, a couple of weeks later. But then from the third grade to the fifth grade, it was off and on. We moved to three other houses. I think I went to this other church for a couple of months. But ultimately, in the fifth grade, I started the new school year in a different house. And from that point, I found out that there was a church probably a couple of miles away, and I wanted to start going to that church. Now, if my wife closes her ears, but no, she's heard this story before, there was a girl I liked, and I found out she went to that church, and I thought, well, I'm going to go to that church too, so I can see her at least once over the weekend. But anyway, it quickly became not about the girl, but about being in church. So from the fifth grade all the way through graduating high school, I had gone to this one church. It was a small denominational type of a church. But I had gone to this church, again, from the fifth grade to the 12th grade. And then after the graduating high school, I go into the Marine Corps boot camp, and then I get to my first duty station, and I try to go to church. And I went to this little church. I went to that little church. I went to the base chapel. And I couldn't find a church just like my home church. So what does every good Christian do? Quit going to church. No, not every good Christian does that. I wasn't a good Christian. I quit going to church because I said, if I can't find a church like my home church, then I'm not going to go. And time passes. I find my beautiful wife. We get married. And we start having children, and life goes on. And probably about 15, 16 years later, I'm like, what am I doing? What are we not doing? And that's going to church. So we decide to start going to church a month or so before we moved from California to Maryland. And then in Maryland, we started going to church. And oddly enough, I was growing up in a Southern Baptist church down in Florida. And the church that I found that I was more comfortable at than my home church was a Rhema church. Can you imagine that? I mean, being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it's like, no, that's of the devil. Get away. That only happened at Pentecost. That was my mindset. That was my belief. And it was at that time that I found out that my wife was filled with the Holy Spirit since she was 13. I'm like, what? You can't do that. So anyway, life went on. I played around that creek bank for a while. But throughout my whole life, I always seemed to be a good listener. I guess it was because I had older brothers that kept getting in trouble, and I kept listening to what was going on and watching what was going on. I'm like, if I stay away from that, I don't get a whooping. I don't get switched. And those of you that's been switched before knows what that is. But then as I went into the military, those skills of listening was honed because of being a military policeman and a criminal investigator. You had to listen to people because just one little word or phrase could mean the difference between solving an investigation or not. Okay? So you had to be a good listener. And also, I always thought that it was good to hear things from somebody else's perspective before passing judgment, if you know what I'm talking about. It's like I'm not going to dig my heels in and not go any further until I actually hear and see what's going on. And that's probably why I ended up being filled with the Holy Spirit, because I thought, you know what? Let's go ahead and listen to this. Let's hear more about it. So anyway, I'd always been a confident person, at least in most areas of my life, until it came to spiritual things. And I think that that was because of a shaky, background growing up. And then I'm hearing some things, and then I'm reading in the Bible other things. And I'm like, what is true? What is not true? So I almost had to go on my own little quest there and figure things out. But some of the things I'm talking about is I heard some people growing up saying, you better not let the devil hear that. Or, man, the devil's just beating up on me today. You come in and you tell a good testimony. Anybody remember testimony services? I don't know if you do, if you've grown up in a denomination that did, but testimony services. Somebody stands up and gives a wonderful testimony, and then somebody else leans in and says, you better not say that too loud. The devil's going to hear you. Who cares what the devil? I mean, back then, I'm like, oh, my gosh, the devil. We can't let the devil hear this. I mean, we're up there, and I'm in the choir. I'm like the only teenager in the choir, doing my best to sing the bass line with Mr. Averill. And we're singing like power, power, wonder-working power of the Lamb, you know, or of the blood of the Lamb. And then they turn around and in the fellowship, the potluck or whatever, you know, family fellowship we have later after church, you know, you hear somebody saying, you better hope the devil doesn't find out about that. Well, we just got through saying about the wonder working power of the blood, right? So obviously you can see where some confusion had set in. And, I started to develop the impression that some people really just sat back and let the devil do his work in their lives. Ruin marriages, bring symptoms onto their body that don't need to be there, put bills in the mail, rebellion with the kids, just different things. Destroy relationships from their coworkers at work. But again, they're talking about how wonderful and powerful God is, but then it seems like a spirit of fear would get onto them about the devil, the things of the devil. So as I was trying to renew my mind in this area, we're not going to turn to it, but I'd go back to Genesis, because I would think, why are we so special that God is powerful? And just very briefly, when you look in Genesis chapter 1, God speaks and everything is created. God speaks. To me, it looks like God was just sitting there talking. He was speaking and everything happened. There was light, there's water, there's the earth, there's all these things. And I don't mean anything bad about that when I say that, but the word says he spoke and things happen. Amen? That's power. But when it came to man, he said, let us form. And he physically, he himself took the dirt of the earth and he formed us. And then he breathed life into us. To me, that sounds like creating man to him was really more important than creating all these other things. Now, all these other things are important. All those other things help sustain our natural life on the earth. But to me, that meant that people was more important than anything else. So I had to start looking at it from that perspective. And if people are more important, he's going to do what he needs to do to keep us safe and protected. The devil, if you read it, the devil really didn't show up. I mean, he was already floating around the earth, but he really didn't show up in the Bible until chapter 3. And that's when he started trying to cause problems. And he's always tried to cause problems. But I believe that if Adam and Eve took authority over the devil at that time, we probably wouldn't be in the mess that we did. But again, I think if they had a better understanding of their authority, but maybe, and this is just me guessing, maybe that their authority was a little bit clouded with the smoke and mirrors trickery that the devil was trying to do as he was trying to steal, kill, and destroy. If you fast forward to today, I do spend a lot of time, if I may say, within the Rhema bubble. I go to church here, I work here, I'm in the bubble. But I also spend quite a bit of time outside of the Rhema bubble, and I still see the same thing. Whether I go into grocery stores or whether I go into the mall, which I hadn't been in the mall a lot lately, I have the privilege of driving the Crusade bus on Living Faith conferences with the pastor and Mrs. Hagen across the country, and you see people and you hear people. And I'm not saying specifically in the churches, but you stop for fuel and you're in truck stops and different things. And I can see the oppression, the depression that some people have. I see the need. I see that there is a huge mission field in the United States, here in Oklahoma and in the Tulsa area. Now, I don't spend a lot of time on TV. I used to. I mean, if it's a Western or something about airplanes, I'm definitely watching it. If I happen to be in the living room and the channel's being flipped around and it's a movie that catches my eye, I might go ahead and watch that movie. But I can see that Hollywood is pushing a lot of societal influences. I mean, if you listen to Pastor Angela's message this morning, her and her daughter got up and walked out of a movie because it was getting a little bit bad, okay? Probably a lot of bit bad, I'm guessing. But there's. I mean, if you look at TV shows, you look at movies, you look at now a lot of these networks has their own mini TV series and their mini movie series, but there's a lot of influence put into it. There's a lot of witchcraft, there's a lot of vampires, there's a lot of satanic cults, there's a lot of this, there's a lot of that, there's a lot of the other. I am thankful that there are some movies out there and some networks that's creating good Christian and family-based movies. But there's a lot of this other stuff that people see today. And there's a lot of this stuff that not only people see it, but people like our children are seeing it. The younger generation is seeing it. And I look back to myself growing up, just as confused as I was when I graduated high school, how confused are some of our youth growing up? And as they go into adulthood, how confused are some of the parents because of the different shows that's on TV? But nonetheless, they have to, these networks, these TV shows, these movies, they have to capture our attention in order to be a good movie, right? If it's a regular TV show, they need to keep our attention for at least an hour. Movies, at least 2 hours, a little over 2 hours, maybe a little under, but they have to keep our attention during this time. So they have to build the suspense. They build it with these little mini battles between good and evil. These mini battles, they all go forward to a major battle, which is basically good versus evil. I don't know that I would be a good movie producer or director. I would probably spend a couple of moments introducing the main characters in the first parts of the script as it's being written, and we're acting it out. And then the first time evil shows up, bam, good comes flying in and destroys it within 3 seconds or less, and the movie's over. But, you know, that's the approach that I have to take with Christianity. That's the approach that I have to take with the devil. And I'm telling you right now, the devil is nothing. The devil is nothing. And if you're looking for a title for the message, that is the title of my message tonight. The devil is nothing. He's a defeated enemy. You know, talking earlier about me growing up, I had a couple of favorite superheroes. Don't be sad when I tell you this, but one of them wasn't Superman. Spider-Man and the Incredible Hulk were mine. I can't tell you how many times I would try to create devices on my wrist to shoot web. I would go as far as in the trees in the back of the yard. I would climb up on the limbs, and I saw a picture of Pastor Angela's pine tree, and that reminded me there was a lot of pine trees in this one house that we lived in. And I would climb up and I would tie ropes to this limb and just have it a twig, you know, holding the bottom of the rope. And then I would do this tree and this tree and this tree, and I would position the ropes. And I would climb up one tree and I would pretend to shoot a web, and I'd jump out and I'd grab the rope, and as I swung to the other tree, do the web. And then I would grab a hold of the other, and I would do that for four or five trees. And I would pretend like I'm going building the building in skyscrapers of New York. I had a lot of bumps and bruises when I was growing up. There's some times that, and I say the Incredible Hulk, now he's just called the Hulk. But back then it was the Incredible Hulk. Lou Ferrigno, I tell you what, I see a hand back there. Lou Ferrigno was the original Incredible Hulk. And in case you didn't know, he purposely got injected with some gamma radiation, and it gave him the ability that whenever he got really mad or angered, he would transform from just a meek and mild doctor into the Incredible Hulk. You know, first of all, his eyes would turn green and his veins would pop out, and then he would transition. So I pretended that I was getting beat up. And then sometimes on the playground, we would pretend to beat me up, or we pretend to beat somebody else. So we'd turn into the Hulk, and then we would go around and beat everybody else up. But that's part of my childhood growing up. But the reality of it is, if you're a Christian today, particularly if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, we all got a superhero inside of us. We have the ultimate superhero inside of us. If we go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and I'll probably just skim through some of these scriptures a little bit quickly. But if you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you, through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have that power that's inside of us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? You have to believe that you have that power inside of you. The living God is inside of you. You have to believe and know who you are in Christ. Several years ago, we were on vacation in Virginia. And my nephew, I'm not sure how old he is now, but he's a little guy. And we were out in the lake, and he was putting around pretending to be a boat, making boat sounds. And we all laughed and enjoyed it. Then the next day, he was up in the house, and we're sitting in there talking, and he has some other toys, and he's playing around, and he's, you know, making some other noises and stuff. And my wife just simply just looks at him and says, "Who are you?" Meaning, like, what are you? What animal or whatever you're doing today? He just looks at her with a puzzled look on her face, and says, "I'm Asher." It's almost like, "Don't you know who I am?" He's like, "I'm Asher." Anyway, he knew who he was, and he didn't have a problem in telling her who he was. And we need to know who we are as Christians, the authority that we have inside of us when the devil comes knocking on the door. Okay? So what is authority? Authority is nothing more than delegated power. Okay, and just an example I have used is whenever I was a military policeman, no matter what rank I was, if I was a lower ranking like a private or a lance corporal, because I had on the badge, That was all the authority that I needed. That was all the power that I needed. Because no matter what rank the other individual was, no matter if they were senior to me, no matter if they were an officer, if they were breaking the law, I had authority over them based upon that moment and what they were doing. It doesn't matter if they were drinking and driving, if they get a speeding ticket, running a stop sign, starting a fight, it doesn't matter. I had authority over them because of delegated authority. The true authority came from the commanding officer of the base if it was a base order or base regulation. Commandant of the Marine Corps, if it was a Marine Corps order, it'd go all the way up to the Secretary of Defense if it was a defense order or defense regulation that I was enforcing. That's the authority that I was using. That's the power that I had with me as an example of authority. Our spiritual authority comes from God, not the devil. Just in case some of you are wondering, I just thought I'd throw in that last part, that it's not the devil. In Luke 10, verses 19 to 20, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Now, I do want to say here, I think it is totally super cool, awesome, that we have that authority over evil spirits, that we can trample on them. We can kick them in the head because they're worthless, okay? But God says, rejoice that our names are written in heaven. It's written in. So that's what we should be rejoicing over. And in my own weird little mind, I like to say that's God's way of saying, see, the spirits, the devil, he's nothing. Just rejoice over going to heaven. Amen. So Jesus is talking about us having authority over the devil. God himself is the power behind that authority, as we see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And even though we have spiritual authority, because this battle is a spiritual battle, it can sometimes affect our physical bodies and our emotions because we are a three-part being and we live in this body. Now, I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to say, I recognize the fact that the devil or one of his little cohort demons is not the reason for everything bad in our life. Okay? I recognize that it's not. Because we as natural people, we here with this mind, with our own free will, we make bonehead decisions. We make bonehead mistakes. And if you haven't heard the last two or three times that Pastor Rob's been speaking, I totally encourage you to go online to the church website and get the series he's been speaking on, because he talks about that. He talks about the forgiveness of God when we do something stupid. And that's what we have to do, is we just have to repent of it, ask God for his forgiveness, ask him to help us out of that, and then move on down the road and continue to thank him for his faithfulness. But go and listen to that series that Pastor Rob's been speaking about. So I do just want to say that a couple of quick stories. There was this one time in my life, one time for about a 2 or 3 year period, I was training and ran marathons. I know what you're thinking. It's been a while, okay? We're talking over 100 pounds ago. I was 185 and a 33-inch waist, and I ran marathons. And the worst part about a marathon is all the training before the marathon. It's not just the 26.2 miles, it's the hundreds of miles that you put in beforehand. So on one of my times that I was running, I had gotten 2 or 3 miles into the run. And this was about the time I was starting to accept the infilling of the Holy Spirit idea, okay? But I was running, and right down here on both of my shins, both of my legs, I started getting this very bad pain while I was running. The first thought that came in my mind is, you have shin splints. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I don't have shin splints. I didn't have the pain before. I didn't have this. This has to be the devil. And as I was running across this one overpass, Baydell Drive, if you ever, Highway 50, going to the Chesapeake Bay, the Northern Bridge, it was one of the last exits before you get to the bridge. I was actually running over this overpass, and I said, I don't have shin splints. I says, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I receive your healing in my body, that this pain, these symptoms have to go away. And I spoke to it for another few seconds. You know what the next thought was that came to mind? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you? How many of you know that perhaps the devil uses scripture to try to go against us? Particularly somebody that's just getting back into church after a few years of backsliding. So I recognize that because I actually read that scripture. And our pastor actually preached on that scripture a while. And just so you'll know, if we pray over prayer cloths here, Acts 19, 11, and 12. They took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul and people were healed, right? Well, that's when Paul was in Asia. He just retreated from another mission trip. He just got to Asia, in Asia, and he's going around and he's preaching the gospel and getting people healed. Well, if you go down a couple of verses, 13, 14, and 15, you got these Jewish exorcists that aren't Christians, and they're like, oh, if he could do it, we could do it. And they started going up to spirit-oppressed people, people that are filled with evil spirits, and they're trying to say, in the name of Jesus, come out. Well, then that's when the evil spirit says, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? And then that's when the person that was oppressed or filled with that evil spirit whooped up on them. He overpowered them and beat them up. So I'm running down the road. Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you comes into my mind. And I know that that was the thought that came from the devil. And I started yelling at him as I'm running. I'm hopping and skipping. I'm even shaking these little demons off my legs. And I'm saying, you already said you know Jesus. You already know you said you know who Paul is. And I'm here to tell you that my name is Greg Finley. And I am born again. I got the living God living inside of me. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, the King of kings, the Lord of lords is inside of me, and I receive the healing power, and you have no authority over me, and you have to get away from me. And ever since that day, I have not heard the devil try to use that scripture against me. And I would say within 30 seconds going down the road, those symptoms went away, and everything is fine. Jesus, you got to have Jesus with you, the living God inside of you. Amen? So again, our combat is with the devil, not anyone else. Just another real quick story. We're in Virginia. When we lived in Maryland, we were about 4 hours away from my mother-in-law's house. And we're in Virginia, and again, I'm training for marathons, and so I get out one morning, that's in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's a fall morning, beautiful weather, you can't beat it. And I start to go for one of my long runs. Well, there's this one dog that lived about a mile and a half down the road. There's only one way in and one way out, and he owned that whole area, right? So every time somebody tries to go by, he'll chase the car or bark after the car. If you try to walk by or run by, he's after you. I've already had my ankles and stuff nipped on, and he drew blood a couple of times. But this one morning, I'm running down there, and I see that dog. He stands up, and he's looking. I thought I was a prodigal son for a minute because he was looking far off. And I can tell he was about ready to come after me when I got up there, and I said, this is enough. So I'm running down the road. That dog, what he does, what he always does, he starts growling, barking, runs around. Now his house is over here. This is the left-hand side. I'm running along the right side edge of the road. He comes around, starts barking and nipping at my ankle. All right, for all you dog lovers, I'm sorry, but statute of limitations is over. But I leaned down and I punched and smacked that dog and I gave him a good whack. He yelped, he ran back up. Have you ever seen a dog run sideways when they think they're in trouble? He tucked his tail between his legs and his tail, his back end was running to the house, but his front end was turned around seeing what else that I would do. So as soon as he started running, the Incredible Hulk came out. I honestly, to this day, cannot explain why I did it. But I looked at him and I went, "Rrr!" I gave that Lou Ferrigno pose. And he just started looking and I took some more steps and went, "Rrr!" And that dog ran up on his porch. So I went on down the road, did 10, 12 miles, whatever it was. And I was turning around, I was coming back. And as I'm coming back, the dog steps up. And I can see the dog looking. And as I get closer, the dog goes over into his yard and gets up on the porch. Because he learned. The superhero came out. Well, I never told my wife that part of the story. But she kept talking about how she wanted to go running, but she didn't want to go running because of that dog. I said, "Honey, it's going to be okay. Let's go." I said, "Tomorrow morning, we'll go for a run." And she's like, "Well, you run so much farther than me." And I'm like, "Look, we'll go for a run. We'll go a couple, 3 miles down the road. We'll come back. I'll drop you off," like I'm driving a car or something. "Drop her off at the house, and then I take off and go running further." Here we are, we come around the curve and there's that dog. And that dog, that you can see the dog start to raise, stand up again. Cause it laid in the middle, it like it slept in the middle of the road all day long and all night long. And he saw us coming and he got up. He started looking. My wife's on the right edge of the road, I'm right next to her. He got up and went over in the yard. Then on our return trip, same thing, he got in the yard. She had nothing to do with it, but I was with her. And that's the way we are as Christians. We have the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost to warn us of things, to help us of things. We have the King of Kings living inside of us. He is with us all the time. And the enemy is afraid of that. Now, the enemy's going to do what they can to bully you. But you have to use your authority and step up and remind them that they're nothing. Those little demons and the devils are nothing. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." I got two videos I want to show you. I know we're getting short on time. I'll make the rest of my comments short, but I got two videos I want to show you. The first video, I'm going to set it up. We were talking about Hollywood and how Hollywood tries to have this big battle between good and evil as though they're equals, right? And eventually good might overcome. Sometimes bad might overcome. But in this video, I guess if I do watch movies, I am an Avenger fan. I do like the Avenger movies because of this one scene. This one scene is what basically summarizes my walk with God when it comes to facing things that come up against me. So in this scene, we have Loki. He is supposed to be like a god or a demigod, and he's a bad guy. He's the villain, and he brings all these aliens from outer space, and they start attacking the world because they want to overtake the world, right? But then we have the Avengers, and we have the Hulk. So if y'all would, go ahead and show that first video.
enough! You are all of you beneath me. I am a god, you dull creature, and I will not be bullied by that.
Puny god.
The devil is a puny god. And I tell you what, anytime I start to sense the attack, I'm all over it. You got to break out the word. You got to come after him with the word. You got to go on the attack. You got to beat him up. And in the Marine Corps, when we are out on a patrol, we are always tense. We are always waiting. Now, I'm not trying to make everybody walk out of here scared and seeing things around every corner. That's not my intent. My intent is to tell you that the devil roams around like a roaring lion trying to seek whom he may destroy. Just don't be one of the ones he can destroy. You're always ready. You're always ready. And when you're walking around and he jumps out and he hits you with this symptom, or he hits you with this son or daughter acting this way, or he hits you with this, and he starts roaring and saying, enough, I'm a god. You don't even let him finish his sentence. You pick him up and you snatch him and you throw him around. Now, you can't physically do it, but you do it with your words. Amen. You say, I am the head. I am the head, not the tail. I'm above you or beneath me. You cannot come near me. You cannot affect me and my family. I'm a child of God. You continue to hit him with the words. And that's the way that we do. If we're out on a patrol and the ambush attacks, we are ready. We are ready to fight back. We are ready to return fire. And when that ambush starts to retreat, we got this thing called follow through. We don't just sit back and rejoice and party and say, woohoo, we kick their butts, watch them run. We chase after them and annihilate them and do not give them an opportunity to regroup and reattack. We follow through. And that's what you have to do with the devil. You have to follow through. You have to say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. He took my infirmities and my sickness. Amen. Now, I got one last video to show you, and then we'll go. Now, this scene actually took place before this last one that I showed, or the first one I showed you. And the reason I want to show you this video is to give you an example of when to be ready for the devil's attack. Okay? If you know anything about Dr. Banner, he's the one that turns into the Hulk. He was always trying to seek a way of controlling it. Okay, well, he finally found a way of controlling it, and go ahead and watch this video.
Loki's gonna keep this fight focused on us, and that's what we need. Without him, these things could run wild. We got Stark up top. He's gonna need us to... Loki's gonna keep this fight focused on us, and that's what we need. Without him, these things could run wild. We got Stark up top. He's gonna need us to...
So,
looks like we don't have the video. Do we have, the video? Okay. I'll just explain it briefly, and I started to a moment ago. So Dr. Banner rides up on his motorcycle, and they're basically like, hey, where you been? We could have used your help a while ago. He goes, sorry, it took so long. And then they start explaining things, and Iron Man starts bringing this huge thing that's flying around, and it's probably as wide as a New York street and about 8 blocks long, and it's coming through with all of its laser guns, and it's about to come to them. And he says, okay, I got it. And he turns and he starts to walk towards it, and Captain America says, Dr. Banner, don't you need to get angry first? And he goes, I'm always angry. And then instantly he turns into the Hulk and he tears it up. Now, I'm not saying we have to be angry, but I'm saying instantly we have to have the word in us. We have to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, and the devil will flee. Well, the way we submit ourselves to God, and the scripture, it actually puts submitting ourselves to God first, and then it has resist the devil. You submit yourself to God by praying and communicating with God every day. You stay in the Word. You study the Word. Amen? You have the Word inside of you. And as soon as the devil starts attack, you don't have to sit back and say, oh my gosh, I wasn't expecting this. All right, okay, what do I do? What was that scripture I need to look for? Instantly, you're ready to hit him. You're ready to tear him up. You're ready to follow through. You're ready to annihilate him. And if you really want to, take him to Revelation and remind him of what his future is when all this is said and done with. Amen? You just don't give him an opportunity. Amen? But listen, if you're in here tonight and you say, brother, I've heard everything you said, but I don't have that power inside of me. I haven't been born again. I haven't accepted Christ as my Savior for the first time. I need that. I need to be a Christian. I need that life. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you need that. You need that experience, and you need to pray in the Spirit every day. If you said, you know what, I'm born again, I'm a Christian, but I've slipped and I've fallen, and I've had a rough life, I've backslid a little bit, I need to get right with God, I need to rededicate my life. If that's you for any of those things, just raise your hand. I need you to raise your hand. As our prayer team starts to come forward, if you want prayer for any of those, if you want to be born again for the first time, if you want to receive Christ and be a Christian, if you want to rededicate your life or be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I encourage you to come forward right now. Ladies, come to the ladies over here. Men, if you would come to the men over here. If there's anybody that fits that. But you know what? Let's just say you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything else. Come on down when we're finished. Come on down. They'll be happy to pray with you about anything. If you've been watching us online, we just want to thank you for being here tonight, for watching us online. And we ask that you join us each and every time we're here. Sunday mornings at 10, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday night for Hour of Power at 7 p.m. Is there anything else that we have? Amen. Thank you very much. Y'all have a super week, and we will see you back here Wednesday night. Thank you.